Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. Welcome. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports, medicine, fitness, and wellness. We've got a great doubleheader today. Mike McAleese, the Hall of Fame massage therapist, reflexologist. He's the owner of the SOMAR School of Holistic Massage and Reflexology. He's been a guest numerous times in the past. He's returning. And then Sheila Phelan. She's the president at Vestibular Training Services, and she's the provider of figure skating, spin training tools, and seminars worldwide. Those who listen to the Sports Doctor know my decades-long excitement in the world of figure skating. And then in the Sports Doctor's Inn, answer some emails, talk about some upcoming shows. First, let's welcome back to the Sports Doctor, Mike McAleese, Hall of Fame massage therapist. Hey, Mike, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Bob. It's always a pleasure to be on the radio with you. Thanks.
Great. Give us a little bit of quickie background, Mike, on you and your world of massage therapy and reflexology.
Sure. I have been a massage therapist for going on 30 years now. It's always been a passion of mine. A few years ago, I went back to school to redevelop myself as a massage therapist. But we opened the school. Let's go back to that. We opened the school back in 2000, teaching massage. We were teaching reflexology before that, and the two just kind of went together, hand in hand. So we've been teaching massage.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah, really? we've been teaching massage as a state vocational school since the year 2000.
You know, Mike, it's interesting. For as long as you've been a massage therapist, and I've probably been doing radio a little bit longer than that. I'm in my 35th year, give or take a few weeks. We have spoken about, advocated the world of soft tissue therapy and massage therapy as one of the great healers, one of the great areas of recovery. And it's come a long way, baby, the tremendous acceptance of massage therapy in that whole world, hasn't it?
It's come such a long way. There is more research done now in massage therapy and how it works, especially in the recovery world. I'm really honored that, the Massage Therapy Foundation, located up in Evanston, they are putting out grants for more and more research on massage. So it's a whole new day and age now for massage, soft tissue work.
Yes, there's not a serious team at almost any level that doesn't include massage and massage therapy. My colleague for four decades, the great sports therapist Bob Guida, when I first met him in the late 70s, he was doing deep soft tissue therapy. Most people in medicine didn't know how to spell the word deep soft tissue therapy. And it became one of the big, successful, safe tools, whether someone was looking to relieve stress or whether you were dealing, with a specific injury. You know, how many years were you doing massages on the jogging trail over in Glen Ellen and Wheaton for some of the teams and whatever?
Oh, with the Glen Ellen Runners,
Club.
Yeah, we're going on about 26 years now with them.
I remember when that started. And the idea again, the therapeutic healing, whether somebody's looking to try to reduce stress, they might be incorporating massage therapy, or whether or not, again, they're looking to not only deal with a problem, but prevent them in many instances. Talk a little bit, Mike, about reflexology.
Okay, reflexology is it's been around a long time, number one. In the United States, it became popular during World War One. They were working with soldiers. We know it as today as post-traumatic stress. Now, reflexology, the theory of reflexology is there are acupressure points or reflex points located on the bottom, the plantar side, the dorsal side, medial side, lateral side of the foot. The big thing about that is when we're working with reflexology, we're just working the skin. And as you know, there's thousands of proprioceptor nerves on the bottom of the foot. So we're actually working with them as well. So reflexology
in order to affect
affecting,
you know, all parts of the body, almost
exactly.
An Eastern culture side of things,
yeah.
In the world of meridians and the world of acupuncture
and
those kinds of things. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back almost 10 years. I think before that we were on Reel to Reel. And you can see who the guests were, what the topics were, international, national, and local guests, all included on an endless array of topics. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read some of the different articles I've been writing and have written for one of my latest sponsors, the great magazine Lower Extremity Review, on endless topics from what's the best shoe to what's about the challenges of specialization to all sorts of excerpts from my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And again, we have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. We do a lot of educating on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter and or LinkedIn, where we have thousands of guests. And you can follow us at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with Mike McAleese. He's a Hall of Fame massage therapist, Somar School Holistic Massage and Reflexology. You were telling me before we went on the air, Mike, you're in a new location. What's the best website, Mike, that people could find out about the school and you?
Sure. Thanks, Bob. It's www.somar, SOHMAR.com. That's our website for the school and also for my personal private practice as well. I'm still in the business of helping people to move better, to feel better, and to breathe better.
You know, when you're doing, I used to always feel massage therapists were athletes, man. You know? When you're working with people every day manually and physically, it's one of the reasons all those years ago Bob Guida used the famous chiropractic machine, the M3, because he had no hands left from all this different work with some of these great athletes, and it's really, really work. So I imagine you got to stay in shape just to keep up the massage therapy world.
Definitely, and we actually have that integrated in our massage therapy program, self-care. In my new facility, I do have exercise equipment. I got a treadmill. I got some weights, battle ropes. So once a month,
I hope you got rubber bands, Michael. You got them rubber
bands
to work those feet and ankles? Okay.
Oh, yeah, we do. We got the bands, Bob. We got the bands, Doc.
In the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Mike, I talk about two exercise concepts that should be included in any sport, specifically youth sports, whatever the level or age. And one, again, is strengthen the feet and ankles no matter what your sport is. And the other one is working balance. It's interesting. Today, you know, balance fall prevention has become such a big deal, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, especially as we age up, too.
So, you know, what I always found interesting also, Mike, was that the profession of chiropractic medicine, I give credit, as long as we worked with chiropractors, and we did for the past 40, 45 years, I probably had 50 on my show over the years, that every chiropractor, for the most part, included massage therapy. Medical doctors knew nothing about it, for the most part. They still leave a lot to be desired. But I always felt that chiropractic, hands-on, non-drug you know, therapy, was a great marriage for you guys. Is that still the case?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's definitely. A lot of our students, a lot of our alumni do work with chiropractors. As a matter of fact, I still work with a couple of local chiropractors here in Downers Grove. One leads into the other. It's just, it's a good marriage, like I said earlier. We need each other. We definitely need
each other. The proactive side, Mike, the side, again, in the world of sports medicine, in the world of youth sports, and one of the reasons I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is there an epidemic, with a capital E, of youth sports overuse injuries, both mentally and physically. But the proactive side of massage therapy, where athletes are talking about the value of massage therapy and soft tissue to stay out of trouble, talk a little bit about how you feel about that.
Well, it's important. It's a lot easier to have somebody healthy, have healthy soft tissue when they're doing a sport. It's a lot harder to rehab somebody coming back from not really taking care of themselves. So a lot of the athletes, the pros that I work with, definitely massage therapy is just as important as their training. So just keeping their muscle tissue healthy, making sure the range of motion is on time, on spot. It's really important. So they do value, even the youth sports. I get a lot of young high school kids coming in and just for preventative. And that's the key. It's the prevention of being injured.
Well, it's funny, Mike. Where I first met you, you were at a figure skating event. And as everybody knows, and as you know, matter of fact, I'm celebrating it all this year. This is the 10th anniversary of the young boy who grew up in Naperville, Illinois, who became the Olympic gold medal figure skating champion in 2010, Evan Lysacek. And when we were there, we were talking with all these figure skaters and the parents and whatever. Evan is growing up. He always included massage therapy. We always made such a big deal about that. And of course, then it wasn't all that common. But I remember you were educating these parents and coaches way back. How long ago is that?
Almost 28 years now.
Come on, man. Yeah. Absolutely. give or take. But that's a very big point that I emphasize in the book. I emphasize, again, a lot on the show. Again, there's not a serious sports team now that doesn't include routinely the world of massage therapy, where these athletes might be once a week and might be as needed after particular kinds of problems. Now, the senior citizen and senior population, aches and pains, and massage is so helpful for that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's very much needed. Again, it's a lot of it is preventative. Now, you were talking about a lot of the professional sports teams utilizing massage therapists. I have a couple of grad students who are working on some of the major sports teams, one with the Chicago Blackhawks and the other one with, I think it's a semi-pro football team in the area.
Yes, and I think we're going to see more and more routinely included, again, in the younger athletic world. Again, the reality is there's injuries everywhere you look. You and I both know how much overkill there is in youth sports, and it's a very, very big problem. Another one of the chapters I wrote a lot about is called Youth Sports and Drugs, where half these kids are taking over-the-counter pain medicine in order to keep up with the schedule, in order to play. And I tell parents all the time, if your son or daughter needs pain medicine to participate, you're over the line. You have to really pay attention to that. And the reflexology, is that included for the most part in soft tissue therapy, or is it a separate entity?
It's totally separate. What I teach is more of a lighter pressure, like I was talking about earlier, working with the proprioceptor nerves on the feet themselves. If we go past the skin, then it becomes soft tissue, and then it becomes a massage, where reflexology and massage are two totally different entities.
What are the types of massage, Mike, before we run out of time? In general, I know that people are thinking of categories. What are some examples of the type of massages that are effective?
Well, everybody knows the Swedish massage. That's just a common one. But orthopedic, we have medical massage, sports, of course, stress relief, pain relief. And that's really the key one right there, is we're finding more and more that massage therapy and even reflexology is one of the number one therapies that people are using for pain management. Northwestern University Hospital here in Chicago, reflexology is one of the top three that people are asking for pain management. So
yeah, we all know the nightmare.
We all know the nightmare.
We're going through in our country, where there's 60,000 deaths from opioids. That nightmare of pain medicine and natural methods of helping. And again, like you're mentioning, this has become something that's becoming more and more understood, by the medical community, that we can get some pain management and help with soft tissue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's key. I mean, they're learning more now with massage therapy and the opiate crisis that massage therapy really definitely helps. It doesn't cure the person. It's a part of the therapy to help them get through what they're going through.
That's a healing modality, right?
So it definitely 100%.
Yes, it's on the team of enhancing and helping healing. It might not be a panacea. But again, it's almost always helpful. And again, it's safe. There's no side effects, almost exclusively. And, you could be dealing with kids as young as before adolescence, as well as the senior, population.
Yeah. And I see the younger kids all the way up to folks who are in their 80s and 90s. Just coming in for some soft tissue to feel good, for pain relief, just to move better, As you were talking about balance earlier on, every time we walk, we're standing on one leg at a time as we're walking. So it's
got to work that proprioception, Michael. Michael, I can't believe, as always with you, the time flies. Give me quickly the website again about the school info.
Okay, the school website is www.sohmar.com. We're located at 3051 Oak Grove Road in Downers Grove, Illinois, Suite 104.
Great. Mike McAleese, Hall of Famer, massage therapy. Michael, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. The Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Everybody knows my excitement in the world of figure skating, so I am excited to welcome Sheila Phelan. She's the president of Vestibular Training Services. She's an international speaker and consultant in the world of spinning and twirling. She's an entrepreneur. She's invented some of the harnesses that I've watched these kids jumping in at the rink for a long, long time. Sheila, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Excited to be here. Thank you.
Give us a little bit of background, Sheila. I know you've been a figure skating coach for over 30 years up there in Minnesota. Give us some background info on you and the vestibular world.
Well, kids need to learn how to spin correctly. And really, beginning skaters, only when they learn that axel, they do it in 0.35 seconds. And that's fast. So really, we designed harnesses so that the kids can learn in a much longer period of time to find the right spot in the air, cross their feet. And we just started to discover more and more great things that the kids were learning in midair with that midline cross and that really strong vestibular spinning motion to train their brains.
Yeah, when you're talking about double and triple and quad jumps at younger and younger ages and the physical challenges, strength challenge, as we see, again, in sports medicine, we're interested in preventing injuries and staying out of trouble. We're also interested in enhancing performance, which is one of the reasons why I've been talking about orthotics for the past, 35 years, give or take a few weeks, and a long, long history. Those who follow me know my poster boy. I'm celebrating 10-year anniversary, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek. He grew up here in the Illinois area. I put orthotics in his skates. He was 10 years old. 13 years later, he was the gold medal Olympian. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. It's one of the prodigy sports where we have young kids, very serious, specializing early. Were you a skater yourself, Sheila?
Sure, I skated as a kid. I trained here in Minneapolis. I was with the Burnsville Figure Skating Club. And I was a good skater, but never national or international quality. But I stayed in the sport, and I became, of course, a better coach than I was a skater. So it's
Were you a jumper?
I was maybe better spinner than jumper, but I think technology has changed so much, too. You look back as an older athlete and go, oh, if I would have had that stuff, I could have been better. So
yes.
A little, wish back for the kids, the new generation has it a lot better. And
the word vestibular, balance, stability, control, all these kinds of things come to mind when we're talking about that. Do you work with any other sports in that world of vestibular besides the world of figure skating?
Well, we're expanding, and that's part of my excitement in this new company, is we're expanding into other things. Like, we were working with a very famous autism school here in Minneapolis, trying to apply vestibular to children with autism with physical therapy. But we're also looking at some post-concussion work and even some blast concussion to help.
Yes, this is a big deal.
As a physical therapy coming back.
That world, one of my latest sponsors, Sheila, is a local health and fitness club, Right Fit, and the owner, Suzanne Gray, has been writing about the importance of adding exercise to the world of disabilities, particularly autistic children, for over 20 years. I'm very excited to hear that's one of the areas you're looking at, everything that involves balance and these kinds of concerns. And again, the world of figure skating, where we're talking about young kids. We first met Lysacek. He was a 10-year-old kid. He already was flirting with triple jumps. And I remember having a consortium, Sheila, of various specialties. Orthopedics, I was sports podiatry, osteopathic medicine, physical therapy, asking the question, how safe is it for a 10-year-old to be doing triples? And they said, it ain't safe, but the Russians are doing it. So the challenge
the Russians are
started.
Doing it, so we should be doing it too. Yes.
The challenge started to keep these kids safe. There are a few sports that are so precise on edge and balance as the world of figure skating is involved. So tell us about, first of all, give me the website, Sheila, that could people find out about what you're doing.
It's almost ready. It should be ready in the next week. Vestibulartrainingservices.com. But to look right today, you could see it also at championskatingharness.com.
Yeah, I see you work with this group. You're a consultant also with iCoach Skating.
Amazing website.
Yes. Tell them to call me so we could add some biomechanics.
Trevor Locke at iCoachSkating.com. It's this online website with just 1,000 videos of just breaking down all the pieces of the sport that people can become members. It's an extraordinary site.
And the idea, again, that you could train, and there was a method to the madness. And by the way, the owner of that website, you'll connect us, so I'll have him on the show sometime in the future, Sheila. The idea that you could train, the ability to spin, and all of these things that go into, the ability to the speed and the power and the grace. So the training, you have the whole system in order to be able to spin faster, spin more aggressively. What are the things that you're looking to improve?
Well, when they trained Mirai Nagasu, that we all saw in the Olympics 2 years ago, be the first U.S. woman to land a triple axel at the Olympics, what they really worked on with her was spinning faster than what was necessary in midair. So in the harnesses, they kept just spinning her faster and faster and faster. And that way, it's kind of compared to like being able to drive 70 miles an hour, so driving 30 was no big deal. Yeah, it's training that brain to move faster than what it really needed to, even on that.
Isn't that amazing, Sheila? When we think about years ago, the Peggy Flemings and the Dorothy Hamels and the Katarina Witts, none of them did triple jumps.
Absolutely, and they wouldn't even make it out of like a state competition now.
That's one of the big challenges. This is one of the big challenges: is the physicality. It's one of the reasons I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was these next to impossible demands and challenges for these kids at all levels and trying to stay out of trouble. It's interesting, as a sports podiatrist, Sheila, over half the females and girls I've seen, adolescents, as patients, it's knee trouble. You know, all day long I'm singing the song, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone's connected to the knee bone, when we're talking about sometimes these concerns and the whole world of with the boot therapy. Do you know my friend, Mr. Edge, John Hermata?
Yes. In
Illinois? Yes.
Yes, I just sat next to him at a seminar just a couple months ago.
Oh, yes. John and I participated in his great book, Anatomy of a Figure Skating Injury. I'll have to send you some copies. Maybe you'll contribute in the future to our newsletter, High Performance, Figure Skating. And again, the kinds of challenges that are so demanding. You know, in the world of youth sports, we tell everybody, all the doctors, all the parents, all the coaches, play different sports, play multiple sports. And that's great, unless you're in one of the prodigy sports, and figure skating is one of them. So is gymnastics or ballet. Dr. Weil, my daughter's 11. All she wants to do is skate 6 days a week. So we start running into these what we call repetitive motion problems where we're doing the same thing all the time, especially with the athleticism. How old was this girl who won the national women's figure skating title in January?
What is she? Yeah, Alyssa Liu.
Yeah. How old is she? She's like 14, right?
14. She wanted a 13. Yeah, kid's amazing.
Yes. You know, I was celebrating all the weekend of my birthday, the 24th of January, because I had two medalists in pairs at Nationals. Jessica Cavalang, and her partner, Brian Johnson, and Danny O'Shea and his partner. So we were rooting both of those teams on when it came to the excitement of watching some of these kids. It's always been a big part of my passion. You know, when you get, you never know when you're going to get your next gold medalist, right, Sheila?
Oh, and we're just screaming at the television watching it. It's so exciting.
Yes. Of course, so when you're dealing in your world, I always ask you, as a matter of fact, the title of the book, you know, how's your sports psychology and your psychology skills working with coaches, your one, as well as parents and that world when you're talking competition? How's that going?
It's a science. It's an absolute science. And it's neat to see all the people that are out there to really help these kids. And I think it's deceptive when you see only one coach in the kiss and cry area with them, when really it's 25 coaches and parents and families that got the kid to that event.
Yes, it's just a tremendous teamwork involved, where we would see, Evan, he had his ballet teacher, he had his physical trainer, we had his massage therapist, we worked with sports psychology. Of course, we had sports podiatry, it's still one in a million where we would see getting at those kinds of levels. Again, the challenge is are we pushing into these unknown areas physically with how much the body could take with all of this jumping? And one of the things we pay big attention to, Sheila, on the Sports Doctor, I tell these coaches all the time, back off the ice, running, pounding, jumping rope, overkill. Work, balance, and stability. Those are the two things. I have a chapter in my book. I call it the two essential exercises for youth sports. I'm going to bounce that off you when we come back, the idea of strengthening the feet and ankles as well as balance. We are talking with Sheila Thielen, world-class coach, spin master, vestibular training. And we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doc. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back years. Who were the guests? What were the topics? You could listen to whatever you would like. Authors, doctors, athletes, therapists. Go over to newspaper articles and magazines, and you can read the endless array of articles on all aspects of sports medicine, whether it's on the world of concussions, whether it's on the world of overuse injuries, or one of my most popular articles is Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. That's a popular article. We have 30,000 followers on Twitter. It's an educational array of articles. At Sports Doc, DOC Radio. You can catch us there. We're talking with longtime figure skating coach. He's an entrepreneur, also invented some aspects of the training of these young skaters, Sheila Thielen. And we were talking about the challenges of the demands on some of these kids as it gets more and more physically demanding. The spin training, is that something that's done specifically at the rink? Is it something where you have exercises, types of things they could do off ice? How does that work, Sheila, with this vestibular training?
So while the class is going on, I tackle one kid at a time. And it's basically a moving platter. So like kind of like your microwave platter that spins. And I can control the speed. So I can put them on there, and they're hooked in a harness so that I can also hoist them up into the air. So one, it stops them from falling off the spinning electric spinner, and it also allows them to float in the sky and continue spinning. And the
Are they in
the
skates? Are they in the skates?
You can do it in skates, but most of them do it in their tennis shoes.
Okay, because I was going to think that probably the motions would be beneficial either way.
But that we can do it both ways. Easy enough to do.
Okay.
And but with that, the kids get that the spin motion, the positioning, and the big part is crossing the midline. So their feet are crossed, their hands are crossed, their head slightly turned, and they learn that perfect air balance. But they also learn perfect balance, which is the whole base of sports.
It really is the core strength and the stability and the strength. And what's interesting also is the fact when you take a look at the almost endless type of spins that we see in the world of figure skating, this combination of grace and beauty and power and speed, I guess they're challenging you all the time. Hey, Sheila, you have a new spin for me?
I do. I do a ton of different spins. It also depends on what the kid can physically do. Yeah, it's always fun when you get a really flexible kid, but it's the challenge of spinning, and it's the joy of spinning. And it's really the only sport, figure skating, that truly, truly spins like this. The ballerina's
drive. And what about the strengthening? You know, I was mentioning the chapter in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, be glad to send you the PDF, the chapter on the two essential exercises that I have watched in the world of figure skating especially. I don't care how old the kid is or what their level is. And one is strengthening the feet and ankles, rubber band work, other kinds of strengthening. You want to be quick as a cat, strengthen those feet and ankles. The other is balance. The other is balancing on tilt boards, standing on BOSU, standing on mini trams, and creating all of this challenge of balance. Do you have, along with your spinning, with the harnesses and et cetera, do you also have exercises and strengthening, Sheila, that you include in the mix?
I think it's key. We actually, our youngest skaters do an off-ice class, a half hour, every single day, you know, and that's exactly the exercises. Even grapevine steps and walking on their toes and strengthening those feet and ankles and their basic coordination, that's all a key. But we even have 3- and 4-year-olds in the class. But it's fun to see the 3-year-olds in the harness, too. They're actually really good at it.
Yes, they're tumblers, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of these kids, and do you incorporate? I'm sure you do. When you're talking about all of this spinning, how does that combine with fit in to the world of all of these jumps? Where again, he's doing double jump, triple jump, and they're spinning at the same time. Besides the spinning on the ice, is that something that also is in the middle of your world?
And it's part of the joy of the sport and the fun and the challenge and almost the addiction to that perfect jump. And I think we've all done it in all of our sports, that perfect slap shot, that perfect balance, that perfect three turn, that your brain found perfect balance and alignment and position, and your brain loved it. It's addictive.
You pay attention to the mental side, again, these kids, and I'm sure you're working with some very serious level kids. And again, we'll see serious level kids, 12, 13, 14 years old, like we mentioned, the national 2-time champion. She's like 14 years old. It's like off the walls, somebody that young. But when you watch the Olympics and you're seeing a young gymnast doing triple jumps and she's 16 years old, you got to figure she started when she was like 4. Or something like that. Of course, one of the challenges of skating is you're raising the center of gravity an inch or two off the ice, and you're balancing on an 1/8-inch wide blade. It's a whole new world of stability and balance training, and don't you think so?
Absolutely, and we really do have all our kids, you know, even at medium and low levels, working with some of the top psychologists in the country. It's an important factor. It's just as important as the jumping and the spinning is the mental game of getting the
You hit it on the nose. That's what we call it on the sports doctors, the mental game. Whether the mental game means trying to be the best athlete in the country, whether the mental game means can I successfully come back from an injury, whether the mental game is how can I deal with my coach, you know, or how do I deal with my parents as the pressure starts to mount. You know, youth sports is a $20 billion a year industry in this day and age. It's way out of line in some ways. And that's why I always ask coaches like yourself, again, you know, how your sports psychology skills are working with these families and other coaches.
It's all about the kid has to love it and the family has to support that. There's a fine line to everything. It's really finding the balance. And especially in these kids, a lot of kids do online classes that have really succeeded in their sports because they have more opportunities for daytime training and online schooling, and they're still getting a great education and still able to do their sport. So
That's a great point.
I
found in the past, Sheila, that a lot of the young skaters I would see really were homeschooled because the demands on their kinds of scheduling, whether it was traveling, whether it was other kinds of demands with scheduling. You know, when you talk about whose goal is it, whose goal really is it, I'll tell you a quickie story. When Evan won the Olympic gold medal in 2010, the following month or two, I had his mom, Tanya, on the radio, and I asked her, I said, Tanya, how did you know whose dream and whose goal it was? And she said, you know, Dr. Weil, Evan had to be on the ice at 6:15 in the morning. I never had to wake the kid up. You know, he was always sitting in the car with his gloves on. Ma, where are you? And I told her, I don't know if I could have thought of a better answer than that when we start dealing with, because parents are a challenge, aren't they?
It's part of the team, and it has to be about the kid, the top of the pyramid.
See, you got that perfect part of the team. Sheila, give me the... I know you said it's going to be up and running very, very soon, and we'll mention it next week. Remind people, what's the website that's going to happen? People could find out about vestibular training.
It's vestibulartrainingservices.com.
Okay. Sheila Thielen, thanks so much for joining me. Hold on, Sheila. Everybody will be right back with the Sports Doctors in live from Chicago. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com, Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. This is the Sports Doctors In segment, where we answer some emails, we talk about some upcoming guests, and as always, one great guest after the other on the Sports Doctor. And again, if people go to the website sportsdoctorradio.com, you could go to the radio shows and look back over the years and see what are the topics, who are the guests, listen to whatever you would like. We got some great shows coming up next week. My newest sponsor, Suzanne Gray, Right Fit Sports Fitness, is coming back. And one of her associates, you know, Mike Andrews, Mike and I go back four decades at the famous Sports Fitness Institute. Mike's one of our country's leading sports trainers. He worked with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's got a new venture called Restore Fitness. Excited to have Michael with me. His daughter's one of the world's great illusionists, Jeanette. The following week, another one of our sponsors, Rich Dubin. Rich is the publisher celebrating the 10th anniversary of Lower Extremity Review, fantastic LER magazine, and the very exciting new launch of MVP Parent magazine that we're going to have a lot to do with. Rich is a sports dad, and he's jumping in with both feet. And Jill Lane is my second guest. Jill is an expert in the world of sports nutrition, youth sports, professional athlete sports. She'll be doing some writing for Rich, so that's going to be a great show. And you want to email me? We have hundreds and hundreds of emails. We mix them up. drrwilesportsdoctor@yahoo.com, written out. Mike says, would you please discuss your article, Build Your Game from the Ground Up? It's an article you could find on the website. Really, Mike, it's about the key thing we talk about a lot on the Sports Doctor. Strengthen your feet and ankles. Pay attention to your foot mechanics, your foot type. Are you in the best shoe for your foot type? What do I mean by foot type? Do you have high arches with a limited range of motion? Do you have excessive pronation, flat foot type tendencies? 80% of the problems I see, whether it's overuse injuries in adults or kids, are the excessively pronated flat type foot. So pay attention to that. Strengthening is such a key. Again, I'll go back to the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, the chapter I wrote on the two essential exercises, work, stability, and balance. Imagine yourself balancing on a mini trampoline, standing on one foot at a time, standing, balancing on tilt boards, strengthening those feet and ankles with rubber bands. That's what I mean by building your game from the ground up. Neil says, what about over-the-counter arch supports? What's their value? They definitely have a value, Neil. A lot of times I'm recommending an over-the-counter, Dr. Scholl's, Superfeet, for someone to do right away, where we might be looking to support the foot or control some of the excessive motion. It is not a custom orthotic. When joint alignment and specific biomechanics, foot molds are taken, this is what I talk about all the time when we're talking about custom orthotics. But over-the-counter supports can be a helpful tool, many times a good diagnostic aid, as whether or not that direction makes sense. Adam says, what's Morton's neuroma? Is it a surgical problem? Morton's neuroma, Adam, is a thickening of one of the normal nerve connections that runs between the third and fourth toes in our feet. And when there's excessive pressure on that area, it could be the result of an injury. Many times it's the result of excessive redistribution of weight. Think of that rolled in pronated foot or that high arch, which might be putting excessive pressure on the ball of the foot. We can thicken that nerve, and it can cause problems, whether it's numbing to the toes, whether it's cramping in the feet. A common response, you know, Dr. Weil, I feel like my sock is rolled up under my toes, is often one of the things we'll see. We used to think years ago that the only permanent relief was minor surgery to remove that piece of nerve. Over the years, when we had so many athletes saying, is there anything else I could do? We found great value in prescription orthotics and redistributing weight and controlling these types of symptoms. Other times we would see that an injection or two of cortisone in that area can be very, very effective. So if you're getting an opinion, Adam, of surgery is the first option, get another option, because very much so we see conservative measures, whether it's some physical therapy to the area, injection therapy, and absolutely orthotics can really make a big difference. You know, Steve says that my son is 18 years old. He's been running cross country. He's been plagued with what they call shin splints probably almost every year, and it's a problem. You know, the most persistent shin splints, and shin splints is not a medical term. Shin splints can be a stress fracture. Shin splints could be a tendonitis. Shin splints can be an inflammation. The inner side of the lower leg usually is the area where we'll see the problem. And when it's persistent, we start paying attention to foot mechanics. 90% of persistent, ongoing, recurrent shin problems are foot mechanics related. That foot collapsing excessively, one of the functions of the muscles and tendons in that area is to slow down the foot slap as we're running. And when we have biomechanical imbalances, we could be overusing that muscle. It fatigues, and we start pounding away on it or pulling on that area. So the aggressive conservative measures of custom orthotics, see podiatry, physical therapy, strengthening that area, calming down, intelligent rest sometimes is very, very important. You can't run through these persistent problems. You got to back off, and then you got to pay attention to what's the causative factor here. Is he in the right shoe for his particular foot mechanics? These are the things that you really want to pay attention to. Marty says our 7-year-old daughter in toes, it's been a little bit less than when she was 4 or 5 years old. The pediatrician said she'll grow out of it. You know, Marty, not all the time will we see that that's the case, especially if there's another component like pronated or hyperpronated feet. So again, see podiatry, pay attention to that evaluation. Many times we'll use out-toe plates in order to attack this along with physical therapy. We're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks very much, Mike Malkalis, as well as Sheila Thielen. And everybody, we'll see you next week. Another edition of The Sports Doctor. Thank you.